This is a JT exclusive interview. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. This is a JT exclusive interview.
How's it going, everybody? You are listening to On Air with JT. I have an exclusive interview with lead singer Zach Barnett of American Authors. How's it going, Zach?
What is up? Going well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Best day of my life.
I love that. Man, treat every day like it's the best day of your life.
Exactly. Man, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's crazy because my favorite song is Believe, just because it resonates with me, and especially during my mental health journey, I've played that song quite a few times, to say the least.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's gotten me through a lot of rough moments, and I'm sure it's gotten through. And I read the comments, and other people feel the same way. So, to make music like that, and be able to inspire other people to keep going and things like that, the beauty of songwriting and everything like that, you still make a huge influence and impact on people's lives, even till this day and still, for years to come.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you saying those things. And, I think as a musician and a songwriter, that's one of the things that, you kind of strive for. It's like, I can tell a story that might mean something to me, but you never know how it's going to affect other people, and you never know who it's going to resonate with, how it's going to resonate, if it's going to help them or what it's going to do. And I think that's always the special thing. It's always really incredible to hear the story like that you just told me, and to hear those stories and to get, DMs on social media that are saying like, this song of yours helped me through this time. Cause obviously the music I write helps me, but it's such a beautiful thing to see that it helps other people too.
Exactly. And I love to hear musicians, especially musicians like you that I like look up to and fans of, that are able to understand that it can be very complex. It's not just about you and that song, and it really can affect and resonate with so many people to such a high degree that I feel like some musicians aren't even aware of it, unfortunately.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, totally.
I have a question. So you guys formed in Berkeley in Boston. That's correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Did.
So are you from yeah. Boston or?
No. So I grew up splitting my time between Minnesota and California, Minneapolis and Los Angeles. And then, when it came time to graduate high school, I got accepted to Berkeley.
You must have been so stoked, because if people aren't aware, it's really hard to get into Berkeley.
Yeah, it's a great school. I was very stoked. I didn't have any money, but I figured out a way to pay for it, to at least pay for the first semester till I could figure out some of the loans and stuff. And, when I went to Berkeley, obviously, like growing up, I always did musical theater and different bands and songwriting and production. But when I went to Berkeley, I really kind of went with the sole purpose of finding other like-minded musicians and starting a band. And it took me about a year, but like within a year, I found the guys that are in American Authors today. We were called something different back then, but yeah, found them, and we've been playing together ever since,
And so. That you guys were known as the Blue Pages at first, right?
Yeah, that was our college band.
Okay.
But so, really, it's like, all things considered, considering we started the band in like 2007, mm-hmm. We've only had the two names. We were the Blue Pages up until like early 2012-ish when we decided to change our name to American Authors.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah. Coming from like Minnesota and living in California, because I'm born and raised in Boston, so I, just from your
experience,
I would love to hear your point of view. Like, what was it like? What was it like when you first came here? Like, was it everything that you expected, or were you kind of totally caught off guard on how you know, everyone kind of acts.
I was, well, look, I'd only been to Boston like once before.
Oh, okay.
Just to like visit the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was kind of like, cool. It's, you know, beautiful, great historic city. I went for like, and that trip was only like one day. Okay. So it was like, I accepted going to the college. I went and visited Boston for a day. And then it was like, all right, well, you know, it's like, this is where I'm going to live for the foreseeable future. So I was like, cool. But no, I loved it. You know, splitting my time, like Minneapolis is a great city.
Mm.
Los Angeles is super cool. And like, you know, growing up and going into Hollywood and stuff. You know, so it's like, being in a city wasn't that much of like a shock to me. I loved Boston because, yeah, it's like, you know, like I could stay in like the Back Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
Working on my college work, but I had to get a job right away.
Okay.
So it was really fun for me to like, I worked downtown in the theater district and I, you know, so then you're like quickly being opened up to like a more local scene in Boston, like a more local group of people.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really fun. And I met some incredible people, just people that I still stay in contact, like obviously my college friends, but even like the people that I worked with in Boston that I didn't go to college with are still great friends of mine today.
Wow. That's really something special.
Yeah. 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 Like we'll still like, they'll still come out to shows and we'll all hang out every time I'm in the city. We still, you know, keep in touch on social media and talk and, you know, I hear about their families and, you know, it's crazy. Cause, one woman who was from Southie, you know, like born, raised her family in Southie.
Exactly.
She was amazing. And when I was working with her at the restaurant, you know, she had a son who was super little, right?
Mm.
And like really, really, like a little kid. And it was so, it's so awesome now to keep in touch with her on social media that her son is now going to college. And, you know, he's now old enough to like know who American authors are and like, oh, my son, now that he's grown up, you know, he's into American authors and yada yada. Here's pictures. And it's really fun to see that.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was very surreal at the beginning.
When you start receiving
that, you know, that kind of, you know, responses and messages. But I do have a question, you know, because especially now, you know, I don't know if you've really noticed, but the music scene in Boston is very weird situation because there's so much talent, but even till this day and for the past 10 years, you know, nobody's really coming out of Boston because at least from my point of view, and I've managed a few artists and I've been around a lot of this
and
it's not like Atlanta or New York. It's like everyone's kind of fighting for that spot because, you know, nobody has really, you know, become very, very successful out of Boston. I mean, yes, for a musician recently.
Boston's crazy, you know. Okay. So I talked about my job in Boston, which was really important to me and who I am today there.
Mm-hmm.
But I dropped out of school really quick. Like, I found my band. I think I went to Berkeley for a total of like 3 semesters. And then I was like, okay, well, I found my band. I'm really into this. And I actually continued doing classes at Bunker Hill Community College. So shout out Bunker Hill.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on. You know, if we're talking about Boston, I got to at least go a little deeper into the local elements of Boston, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I respect that.
But yeah, like, so then I was just kind of doing that and the band, we were touring around New England and it was a really cool, I gotta say, like it was an awesome time because there were a ton of like really cool, bigger, like not like huge, but like there were like these big scene bands in the area.
Yeah.
Like there's this band, Land and Fall, who was kind of like, you know, like, you know, they were doing like some good shows and good numbers. And like, we would just sit on MySpace every day and like reach out to these bands in New England, like Land and Fall. And we'd be like, hey, like, can we get on your show? Can we open? We would be like first of 5 in like a church show or something. But like, you know, that was a really special moment. And again, I'm still very close friends with the guys from Land and Fall today. Like,
Wow.
So it's like they like every time we're in Boston, we all still get together. So it's like shout out Land Fall and, you know, everyone in that scene back then. But on the other hand, what was really cool in Boston going on when I was there was all the dance parties, like the throat parties and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this thing where these, like, I guess what you would call it is like indie rock hipster dance parties that were like really new. I'd never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, it was a different kind of scene.
Yeah, but what they had to do to make it, I don't know if it was like to make it 18 plus, the loophole was they had to have bands play.
Okay.
Right? It couldn't just be a full-on DJ night. So that's why it was kind of like this indie rock. It was like a totally different crowd. It wasn't just like the club crowd. So we got really heavy into that. Like, yeah, like Paper, Throat, all those. And like, so we would start playing those a lot, which was great exposure. And it was just like so much fun. So now we had like Boston had a really cool scene then, which I was pretty excited on. It was kind of like we had just started doing that for so many years in like touring New England ourselves that at one point we found ourselves now going to New York to work with record producers. We were starting to do shows in New York now. Angels and Kings Bar was really popping off in New York City as far as like bands meeting up there, you know, like Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco were doing secret shows there. So at this point, wow, we found ourselves taking the Fung Wah bus back and forth from Boston to New York like every week. Shout out Fung Wah bus. But it's like we found ourselves going back and forth so much. And at this point, none of us were in college anymore.
Okay.
So we're kind of like, you know, we're doing so much. We had all dropped out. We were just touring and stuff. So we're like, you know, at this point, we're spending so much time in New York. We've done the Boston circuit now for a while. I think it's time to make that move.
And to the last question about that, I have to ask you, what was it like performing at, well, two questions. What's your favorite venue in Boston? And then also, what was it like performing at that venue after you guys have achieved that mainstream success?
Totally. It's always Harper's Ferry for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not called that anymore. It's now Brighton Music Hall.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But for me, it'll always be Harper's Ferry because, you know, not only did I see so many bands that I really loved there. Like, it's crazy. Like, I saw As Tall as Lions there, which was like one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
Which is also crazy because, like, you know, singer of As Tall as Lions, Dan Nagro, is like Olivia Rodrigo producer, songwriter, you know? So it's like, that's really cool. You know, I got to see Theophilus London there, who oddly enough just went missing, but was just found. So that's cool. But I got to see some of my favorite bands at the time. And then also I got to play with some of my favorite rock bands there. But then also all those DJ nights I was talking about were thrown there. So wow. Harper's Ferry or Brighton Music Hall in Alston was just like this staple for us. And like we were starting to live around there so we could like pregame at the apartment and just walk on over for the show.
That's awesome. So
it has a special memory for me. And it's still such a great club where we still go back and play it a good amount.
I'm definitely going to be at the next show.
yeah, it's like, yeah, we're always there. Like, we'll like split our time between Brighton Music Hall and Paradise.
Yeah.
You know, and
both
it's like
great venues.
Both are great. Like, we used to play at Paradise all the time, too. So, you know.
And that must be so cool. Like, you know, seeing, especially, I can only imagine, you know, when you were at Berkeley, you know, seeing these big venues and seeing everything. And then once everything blows up, now you're the main act, you're headlining. It must be such a surreal experience.
Yeah, it really is. And it's also a lot of fun too, you know, so it's fun to see. Like, I think it's funny because Boston, when you're playing downtown, it is such a college city, obviously.
Yeah.
And now that American Authors have been a band for like a professional band for like 10 years. Now it's like, we'll try to do stuff of like where we talk on stage about, yo, we're American Authors. We're actually from Boston, Massachusetts. We started here. And like, you know, for like the first 4 years of our career or whatever, people would be all about it. They'd be like, yeah, We know that American Authors is from Boston, but now it's, you know, it's like we've had a career of 10 years and now, like, just because you see, you know, everyone change out from the colleges and now people are like, oh, really? You are? Huh. I didn't know that. Whatever.
Yeah.
You
know, to be honest, I did not know that until like 5 years ago. Because I downloaded Believer. I bought it when it, like, in early 2013, because it came out in 2012, I believe, right?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah. I remember buying it, and it's just crazy, you know, just another full circle moment where, you know, I discovered an amazing song that has helped me for now 10 years. And now to be able to have a conversation with you, it's just, that's surreal to me. So thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Of course, of course. No, I think it's great.
Yeah. So when did you guys get that first deal?
It was pretty shortly after. Look, I always tell people that are in the music industry or really anything, it's like, just keep grinding, staying the course. I couldn't tell you how many times I see people. They work on something for 6 months and it doesn't completely blow up, which is ridiculous in the first place, but like it doesn't completely blow up and then they give up or they switch course.
Exactly.
Like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore now. I'm going to try this, which is fine. You got to experiment. Totally got to experiment. But it's like, it took us so long. We were a band. We started in like 2007 in Boston. Then we moved to New York only to better our career, to be like network, write with people, playing more shows. And then it wasn't until like 2012 where like we were just writing with different producers, different people in the industry, going out every night, networking. And finally, from all that hard work, we met our producer, Shep, at the time, who pushed us to be like, hey, why don't you guys try to write something different? Like, why don't you try to write something happy? And it was like, okay, check this out. And I played the Believer riff on guitar. And it was like, oh, cool. This is like what you guys have been doing all these years, but just slightly different. Let's keep moving forward. And then it's like, push, you know, it's like through his contacts, then it's like, it took us that long to essentially write a song that had that special feeling.
Yeah, no, you know, I know
to more people than us.
Yeah.
So it was really that moment with Believer where it was like, oh, let's show this to some people. And he was more connected. So it's like he got Alt Nation to play it. And then they started spinning it a bunch. And then we wrote Best Day of My Life shortly after that. So, you know, it was like those turn of events.
Now, during those like that 5 to 6 years of, you know, just trying to make it, was there more, because obviously, you know, as talented individuals and you know you have the talent to make it, so was there ever like a moment where there was self-doubt, or is it more like self-doubt or frustration and anger at like the system and how it's kind of like built and how it's just so hard to, you know, if you don't have the right connections and everything, you know, to make things happen?
No, I never had anger.
Okay.
There's never anger. I think there can be frustration with things, but it's like to be angry at a system sometimes I think is a bit of a waste of energy.
Yeah.
You know, because there's always more you could be doing and different things you could be trying.
That's so true.
It's like, you know, it's like got to throw out a ton of stuff. It's like we self-funded, self-produced, you know, this is when you're slanging CDs. So like, paying to press CDs and stuff. We did that for like 4 EPs. Like,
wow.
No, like more. Five or six EPs that we just like, okay, cool. Let's do another one. And it's like, we paid for all that ourselves. We're like, you think about it now, you really don't have to pay anyone for, like, you can download GarageBand for free and then figure out how to use it and then make an album.
Exactly.
And then you can have free AI create your album artwork and have your friend take your photo with your phone, which was better than the cameras. Well, than like a lot of the cameras we were using then. You know what I mean?
And so yeah, it's like, definitely.
It's like, if you look at that, it's like, okay, can't really be upset with it. But yeah, there's definitely moments of frustration. I think it was good being in a band because we all kind of held each other accountable to not quit. and to not move on. Like, we all started doing like these different little side hustles, but we still did the band. Mm-hmm. And even when we were starting to like get a little depressed about it and like kind of have any sort of doubt at all, I don't think any one of us wanted to like quit on the other. So we all just kept in it and kept writing and kept playing shows, even if it wasn't as active. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, like I started doing like some off-Broadway musicals in New York. Yeah, it was just like, because obviously it's like I'm an artist, I'm a singer, so I'm a performer. So it's like I started doing some of that stuff. I started doing like some like Funny or Die skits, and like I started doing like some reality shows. I started playing guitar for like some American Idol contest or American Idol contest, not contest, contestants.
Okay.
So it's like I started playing guitar for people and just kind of like working and performing any way I could while still bartending and, you know, just making sure I could pay the little rent I had. And yeah, it was like odd jobs that were still creative. And it was cool. It was really fun to try those things and to see those different outlets. And I have a lot of really memorable experiences from those. And, you know, it was important. It kept me sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always tell people those years of grinding it out and not having a lot of money and working and whatever, playing for little to no people and building your own light show for 20 people to see at a concert. It's like, those were some of the best years of my life because you had no expectations. It was so fun and pure and you're working insanely hard, but
it's all part of the journey.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's part of a journey. And it's, you know, you got to appreciate those. If you're doing those steps and you're not enjoying it, then it's like you should think about maybe everything it takes to get to achieve this is not what you want. And if it doesn't make you happy, try something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if I didn't enjoy sitting at a coffee shop every day for hours to send out my music to different blogs and to different music influencers and to different online publications. Like if I didn't enjoy that, then it was like, okay, cool. Maybe I should start trying to do like the off-Broadway musical thing more. Maybe that's like, cause I don't have to worry about the publicity on that. Like I just show up for rehearsal and perform like, and get paid. So it's like, but I enjoyed that. I loved reaching out to like Hype Machine and all the different blogs at the time that like could help your music out.
That's awesome, dude. Well, I have a question. So like, what was the most like the defining moment for at least you like when you were like, oh shit, like I made it, like this is happening, like this is like happening right now. Like was there a moment?
For sure. It was said, like I don't think people realize that like Believer and Best Day, technically I think they both came out in the end of 2012, and then like our Island Records EP, which had those songs on it, came out in 2013, and then our full-length album came out in 2014. So I think the internet might just say that Best Day and Believer came out in 2014, but really we self-released them in 2012 at the very end.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia says.
2012?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's good. Yeah, because I think it's important to know that, because when we released those songs, it was like the total end of the year holiday season, and the music industry and like entertainment industry just kind of like shuts down from like Thanksgiving to New Year's.
Exactly.
So it's like, but for some reason, like our song was doing really well on Alt Nation, and then we got this big commercial placement for Best Day. We were like starting to do just these local shows in New York before we all went off for the holidays. And I had a trip planned for me to do a solo trip in Hawaii for like first week of January.
Okay.
And my producer, the guy who's like setting up the Alt Nation stuff or whatever, and who helped us write these, he called me and he's like, look, I think the minute everything opens up after the holidays, we're going to be taking label meetings. So you're going to have to cancel. You should definitely cancel that Hawaii trip. And I'm like, And I'm like, okay, so I canceled my Hawaii trip. You know, everything shut down from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day, but our songs were still like now selling really well and doing really well. So that was a really fun moment to have like this month-long period of nothing going on to just like, okay, cool, I'm just going to enjoy the holidays while my songs keep growing online or whatever. It's like, or like getting played on radio. And it's like, there's really nothing you can do about it because everyone's home for the holidays, but your songs are starting to really build. So that was such a fun moment to kind of like sit back and just like have nothing to do and watch that and know that like come January 2nd, you're going to be taking label meetings. That was the moment.
That must have been crazy.
It was fun. You know, that was more fun. That anticipation, like excitement of just sitting back and watching that, watching the growth and just knowing like, January 2nd, we're going to be meeting with every label. It was like, nice.
And you met with like every single major label? Almost?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy. That's awesome, dude. just at least coming for myself, you know, I'm an aspiring actor and I'm, you know, making that move to LA soon. You know, I lived in San Francisco for a little bit. I love San Francisco, the Bay Area.
Great
but
city.
Yeah, I plan on moving to LA. And I have to ask you, like, if you had to give one piece of advice, you know, because I'm starting a little bit later on with the acting
than
you know, someone that's, you know, 18 or 10 years old, you know, I'll be
which
20.
Is fine,
I'll be 20.
Which is fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of successful, you know, actors that made it in their 40s and 50s, and I'm only 28.
Totally.
I'm only 28. So I'm confident in myself, and I know that I will make it. But if you had to give one piece of advice, what would you say in terms of having like a specific mindset, you know, during those times where, because I know there's going to be full of rejections and no's, and I know that's part of the game, but you know, I've been like rejected and I've been told no, you know, so many times in my life, I'm accustomed to it. So like that phase really won't really affect me like it might for some people, but, I don't know. do you have any advice? Like,
sure.
Even,
I mean,
even
yeah.
Something simple.
No, I mean, there's so many things that you can do, especially these days, for yourself to stay active, to stay pushing forward, you know. And again, this goes for whatever you want to do. It's like, you can look at these, like, monster real estate agents now, and, like, a lot of those people have, like, online TikTok courses and YouTube channels where they're making tons of passive income just because they're talking about real estate on these platforms, you know. So
exactly.
It's like, there's so many different things you can do now than just like, oh, cool, I applied to a bunch of stuff on Backstage or Actors Access.
Which,
like,
I just did.
Oh, cool.
I did like 20 today.
For sure, which is super important, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, you hit Actors Access, Backstage, put yourself out there. But then it's like, hey, I have a funny idea for a skit. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can film that yourself now.
Yeah.
You can film that. You could be posting self-made skits all day on TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and you could be, and you could promote it yourself. You can promote it yourself too. Like, or it's like, if you have that part-time job or that little extra income, like you could throw $100 to some TikTok ads if you have a skit that you really believe in.
Yeah.
And you know what? If that skit you post gets little views, that's okay. Cause tomorrow's a new day, or even later today is a different time period where you could post a new one. And it's like, you know, when you're going into anything, like anything where you're just like looking towards this, I don't know, this massive success in big fields, it's like, it's always going to be hard work, right?
Yeah,
you're not
of course.
Going into these things. If you want to be a big lawyer, it's like, that's going to take a lot of work. That's hard, hard work.
Yeah, you got to accept the good and bad.
Yeah, and it's like, if you want to be an actor, that's hard work. Like, it's a very small percentage of people that are just like, you know, that become Robert Downey Jr., which is fine. I knew that going into music.
That's exactly. That's why
difficult.
I asked. That's why I asked,
like,
because you know that the odds
yeah,
are stacked against you. But if you, but at least I can speak for myself, and I'm sure you can, you know, you might feel the same way, you know, at least as a creative person, you know, you just know that, you know, you have the, you know, you have that potential to make it. It's just about living up to that expectation. So not of the expectations of others, but yourself, just because you know you have that potential.
And it's about having fun with it too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you should be enjoying that journey. Like, if you're going out, I have a friend and she's an actor in LA, and you know, right now she does a ton of different jobs, but you know, like, to pay the majority of her bills, she goes out and she does extra work every day. She does extra work, and sometimes it's super background. Sometimes she has like a main extra thing where she's really on camera. Like, so it's like, she obviously enjoys it enough where she'd rather be doing that than working a different part-time job. So it's like, she's going out. She's doing that every day. That's a hustle. That's a grind. She's waking up at 5 a.m, spending 12 hours in the background, boring acting stuff. But like, she obviously enjoys it. And she's also TikToking it. She's making TikToks about it every single day. So yeah. It's like, she's finding these ways to like make the most out of her acting hustle, which I think that's really admirable to see. You know, it's like, my fiance, she's an actor. And right now, like, she understands that, cool, for entertainment, TikTok is where it's at. So it's like, for her, she's doing, you know, these skits, these original kind of like comedy skits on TikTok that she's posting every day. Every single day she's posting, because she knows casting directors look at that. So I see her working at that. And it's like, cool, do some of them, you know, only get a couple hundred views? Sure. But has she had like a half dozen that have gone viral? It's like, yeah. And it's like, I remember 6 months ago, she was the kind of person who's, you know, 30 years old going, oh, it's so hard to get on TikTok and to train myself to do that and yada, yada, yada. But once she started and stayed with it, it's like, you know, she's organically built. So it's just like, cool. That's hard work right there.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
sticking with it. And now she's at a point where she really enjoys making these TikToks.
And that's what it's all about, is making sure that you enjoy it.
Yeah, you want to enjoy it. And I think it's really important for you, what you're doing. I know tons of people, which is crazy. Like, yeah, with like the online community, I am meeting all these people who have like podcasts and, you know, YouTube channels and whatever, and we'll connect, and they'll be like, oh cool, yeah, I'm based out of like Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm like, whoa. They're like, yeah, I met this one guy the other day, and he's like, oh, you ever get to Phoenix? I'm like, oh yeah, my family lives there now. And it's like, he's like, oh well, that's where I'm based. And it's like, wow, that's really, on one hand, I think that's really cool that you can now live anywhere and have a successful platform with whatever it is you want to do in entertainment, right? Yeah. I think that's really cool.
And community is everything too.
It's so cool. Yeah. That's pretty incredible. On the other hand, I will always say, because this is how I get it, it's like, I did what you're doing. I made that move to the city. Mm-hmm. I made that move. I made that effort when I was in Boston to go, okay, I think the Boston scene is capping out.
You reach a certain level, and then it's like you have to leave Boston. Yeah. And it's crazy because I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, it's okay. It's just and at that moment in time, New York was crushing it in the music scene. The music scene in New York was awesome at that time. And it's like, well, Boston to New York, that's not that far. That makes sense. Let's do it. So it was like, cool. You know, and so I'll always say to people, it's like, look, if you're really trying to do this, you got to be where the scene is, especially if it's like, that's what I would say, especially if you're trying to collaborate with people. Mm. I mean, that's so huge. If you're doing your thing, and like, if you're like a singer, songwriter, and you just self-write, self-produce, and you have your following online, and if you're crushing it living in Ohio doing that, like, that's amazing. I think that's right. That's like the ultimate dream. Like, that's so cool.
Definitely.
But 100%. I have so many friends who are like, they'll hit me up about like, oh, what do you think about this song? Or like, hey, would you want to co-write on this song with me? Or like, would you want to cut this song? And it's like, well, it's not, it's not quite there. And like, they'll say like, what advice do you have? And I'm like, well, if you're trying to be like pitching songs and co-writing songs, it's like, you know, you can't, it's going to be really hard to do that if you're living in like Michigan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like my friends, I currently live in Los Angeles, and it's like, I see my friends, they get up every day and they do 2 writing sessions a day. And then some of them I have a friend, she does like 2 writing sessions a day. She still works a part-time job, and she has like Katy Perry cuts, and like, you know, she has songs out that have like hundreds of millions of streams, and like,
wow.
She's still getting up every day. She goes and does 1 to 2 sessions. She has her part-time job that she does when she fits that in. It's like, I talked to my friend the other day he was one of the writers on Monster by All Time Low, the All Time Low song.
Of course, yeah.
Massive hit, right? Mm-hmm. Massive record. And I saw him the other day. I'm like, dude, congrats. Like, so now what he's like, 5 to 10 more of those. It's like, that's the response. It's like, whoa. It's like, you know, so it's like, he gets it. He's like, cool. I've worked so hard for a decade to get that massive single. And now he's like trying to get 5 to 10 more now.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's the hard thing. And I was going to ask you, did you feel that pressure after, you know, having that so much of that success and, you know, Billboard charting and everything with just to come out with that next thing?
Because everyone's
expecting you to, you know, put out the next big thing because it was just so massive, you know?
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Yeah. We've always felt that pressure.
Yeah.
Always felt that pressure. And we've also always tried to get that next big thing, no matter what our strategy was. It was like we were always going for that. It's like we were always trying to, you're always trying to follow that and one up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, we've not done it yet. You know, we've had great, we've had other awesome,
oh, you have great music
moments and successful. No, it's great music and it's successful, and we have a lot of songs that are super successful in different ways,
of course,
you know, so it's like I'm incredibly thankful for that, but just let's not hide the fact that no, we have not followed up with something bigger than Best Day of My Life
no
yet.
But that it's will like, come, that will definitely come.
And I think that's an important thing to understand in life, is it goes back to the idea of enjoying and being passionate about what you do, where it's like, cool, I am confident that it will happen. But in the meantime, I recognize the small successes. I recognize the small victories. I recognize that even though we haven't done that yet, it's like we have a bunch of other songs that have, you know, allowed us to tour the world and play for our military over in Okinawa, Japan, and like go to a festival in Indonesia last month. And it's like, that's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like the greatest experience in the world. So.
I can only imagine. And I also read that you tour with Rob Thomas?
We didn't tour with Rob Thomas, but he is a good friend. And, you know, I'll definitely, hey, I'm going to say it. We reunited Rob Thomas and Santana for our song Move that we were featured on, that we released last year.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I was curious about that, but I didn't know if I should bring that up.
Yeah, sick, man. Yeah, so it's like, no, it's amazing. It's like, dude, I got to perform with Santana and Rob Thomas on that song, you know, last summer in Central Park for 20,000 people. And it's like, that's amazing. I got to rehearse and watch Santana lead his band and like be there in the room. I got to shoot a music video with Santana rocking out back to back. Like,
wow.
Awesome.
That must have been so cool.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, you got to look at all these things. It's like, okay, cool. Like I did that. I reunited these guys for another record and got to be a part of it, have my voice on it. And it's like, okay, was the song as big of a record as Smooth? No, but it's like, do you beat yourself up? It's like, no way. I just did a record with 2 legends, got to do a music video, got to perform it live with them. And it's like the greatest experience and story of all time.
Hell yeah. I honestly feel, in my opinion, Rob Thomas is so underappreciated and does not get the flowers he deserves as a songwriter. I even to this day.
He's very good.
He's very good.
So I'll just tell you, like, first of all, he's an amazing human, like really, really, really a nice, genuine person.
Wow.
Great songwriter, obviously, with his work and Matchbox 20 and whatever. But today too, it's like, he's a beast. Like he co-wrote like the newest Forest Black single, which is amazing. And like, he's really doing a great job doing the co-writing circuit, like writing records with new upcoming artists. And I like, for us with Move, like we did a session that day, but then we had this track sitting around, and the way that our song with him came about was I sent him the track. I'm like, yo, Rob, I got this track that's kind of inspired by you. Like, if you feel anything, just wanted to send it to you. And 20 minutes later, he texts me back the track with him singing the chorus. And it was like, oh man, like how did he just cranked out what I think is like just a massive hook. And he did it like 20 minutes, recorded himself, sent it back. And it was like, wow, that's really amazing.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And I'm happy to hear that, like, he's actually like, because he seems like he's like a genuine and like humble guy from the interviews
he
and
really
everything.
Is.
And like, he's another artist that has definitely made it a really impact on my mental health journey. So I have to ask you, what after the two albums that you guys released prior to the first one, what did you guys walk away from the, did the deal end or was there?
So our deal with Island was awesome. And I think we got really fortunate to have our same team that signed us essentially be with us for our whole time at Island.
Mm.
On our third album, the label did get a new president, but he was super cool. And, you know, he just said, cool. Yeah. Like you have your budget, do whatever you want. Like mm-hmm. He didn't try to stand in our way, you know? Okay. So we got really fortunate. So at that point the pandemic hit and, we had one more EP worth of music, that we were sitting on. And the pandemic had just hit, like really, like this is like a week after pandemic started. And it was starting to become a new team at the label. You could see people slowly changing. We'd been with them for a long time.
Mm.
And it was more, we went to them and said, hey, we've had an awesome run here. Why don't we do one more EP together? You are all going in a different direction than where we're going. So why don't we just go our own separate ways? Let's do one more EP together, which is the Counting Down EP. Let's do one more EP together and go our separate ways. And the label was awesome. They said, okay, sounds good. And that was that. We did the EP. Broke off from the label.
So are you indie now or?
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, we are. We have a distribution deal.
Yeah.
With Downtown Records through BMG.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is our first time doing like the distribution deal where we do have like the BMG team, which is cool, but so much of it is DIY where it's like, exactly. Okay, here's your budget. Do what you want, like make it work. So you have to really like work with your management and your team to make sure all your funds are going to the right places. And, you know,
you have to be very strategic.
So you do.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And it's like you don't have a product manager doing the little things like, you know, little things that you think are, that you forget are super important, like setting up your schedule with release dates and this and that and this and that. And like, mm-hmm. and then setting up little Instagram teasers to tease your new song and posting them for you. It's like there's a lot of those little things that you forget. It's like, oh, okay. I am now in charge of everything. I need to know the song's coming out this day, which means I need to announce it on this day, which means I need to make teaser clips for socials on this day. So it's like, It's cool. It's a good learning experience, and I think it's also humbling to go, okay, if you want something to take off, if you want to make money, you have to do it yourself, and you have to come up with the idea. You know, there's no label that's going to call you up and go, hey, I got you this Taco Bell sponsored bio piece where you're going to film and whatever. It's like you have to come up with the concepts and ideas yourself, then figure out what the budget's going to be and how that fits in and plays in.
Definitely. That's really good advice for any young musicians and up and coming artists. You know, that's really good advice.
And I think you are seeing people. It's cool today. Sure. I could say to people, like, on one hand, it's awesome that you have everything at your fingertips to make a video, put your content out there, and have it organically build a following. Like, that's really rad. On the other hand, for me personally, I could also say, like, wow, I can't imagine how frustrating it probably is for a lot of new artists where they're not super tech savvy and they're going like, oh, you know, it's just frustrating that I have to be doing socials all day now. So
yeah,
I see both sides of that.
Well, especially with the music, especially hip hop and rap, it's just so oversaturated. You know, everybody wants to, you know, I encourage everyone to pursue their dreams and everything. But, you know, obviously there's some people that are just not, it's not for them. And so it's very oversaturated in different markets.
I mean, look, I would almost disagree because really? It's like, yeah, I would disagree in the sense of I couldn't even tell anyone now, like, maybe that's not for you or anything.
Oh.
Because it is such a free for all, and you do have social media. So it's like, now it's like you can build an incredible community and following for having like a very bizarre, unique voice and having a very specific image. And and you could build your following, and it might not be for the majority of the world, but you could still make a killing with your niche thing, and you can build it all yourself. You don't need to answer to anyone. So that's why it's like, now more than ever, I would tell anyone, like, do it. Like, yeah. If you have an idea, if you have a song, just do it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
If it doesn't work, do it again. Keep going. Cause, like, you know, just as far as like the socials and all that stuff, it's really cool to see people where sometimes for me, I struggle with like, okay, well, I want to do this type of a video and this type of a content shoot, and I want to put this together, but I need to get my band on board with a calendar and blah. It's like, it's cool to see people that are just like, oh yeah, like I do all that myself. I don't even have a manager, and I create my own ideas, execute my own ideas, put them out there, and then build my own following. You know, it's like, yeah. And book my own shows. It's like, that's awesome.
No, that really is. And actually, you actually do have a good point. You know, thinking about that, I didn't even think about that, to be honest, but you have a really good point. So I actually might have to change my opinion on that. So I have to ask you, so in terms of influences, what were your like main influences for artists and bands growing up? Are there any like few that, you know, that really, you know, made you want to pursue a career in music?
Yeah, it's, you know, pretty, I listened to everything growing up, but always just new alternative rock.
Yeah.
Same. It was either Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the Beatles, and like kind of getting into like that classic rock vibe with my parents. It was either that or just new rock. Whatever was the new thing. So it's like, you know, grunge when I was super young, and then pop punk and new metal when I was in middle school. And then when high school hit, it was like the Strokes and the Killers and the bands. And then I think those artists really pushed me into college. You know, it's like Coldplay and the Killers and the Strokes. And, you know, then I started, college time was pretty emo, so it was like, you know, you started getting into like the Panic at the Discos and Fall Out Boys and all that stuff. But it was always like finding and discovering new bands, new singer-songwriters, you know. So obviously there's tons of different, you know, it's like Elliot Smith was one of my favorites. There's a Norwegian artist, Sondre Lerche, that I loved in college. So it's like there's always all these different things, but yeah, it's always about discovering new bands and new artists.
Definitely. And it must be so surreal when you meet these people that like inspired you and influences and idols and everything, and then you end up meeting them years later. It must be like really an incredible feeling. Like, damn, like if it wasn't for you, like, you know, it's a cool moment. It's a really cool moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I meet people, I just tell them thank you.
Yeah.
Kind of it. I just say, hey, thank you so much for what you do.
Definitely.
You really inspire me. And that's it. You know, go on.
Yeah.
But I got to say, like living in LA, I do get really excited with celebrity spottings. Like, I love it. So.
And that's awesome.
Like, I'm not like, I don't fan out with people. Yeah. You know, if the opportunity somehow comes up, I will say thank you. But like, yeah, like I saw J.K. Simmons on my hiking trail the other day. I'm like, that's awesome.
Just randomly just walking by.
Yeah, it was awesome. He finished his, so I'm finishing his hike with his friend, and then he got on his bike and he biked home.
That's awesome. Like,
that's amazing.
That's you know, that's like, awesome.
So I still get pretty amped up, you know, with that stuff.
Well, that's cool to see that even, you know, after all these years that, you know, you still can get that excitement, you know.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I think it's cool.
Hell yeah. Definitely. So are you working on anything right now or are you guys?
Oh yeah. Our fourth full length album drops in February.
Okay. What's the date?
Yeah.
Is there a date set or?
Yeah, there is a date. I'm
okay.
I'm a bad bandmate, and I don't know the date right now.
I'm trying to see if it's in here.
Let's see. It's in February.
It's in February.
February. Okay.
The only reason why I asked is because my birthday is in February, so I just wanted to know.
Birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe it's like February 10th or something.
Okay.
It's so bad. I should know that. I know. Okay. So when does this come out?
It comes out tomorrow.
Comes out tomorrow, that's perfect. So our new album is coming out mid-February, but you can check out our next single, which comes out this Friday, the 13th, Friday, January 13th, and get ready because this single is called Best Night of My Life.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm so excited. You guys definitely got to get this. So you definitely got to buy it.
It's the 10-year anniversary, so we figured, why not give it to y'all and make the best night of my life?
Hell yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah. I'm really excited for that, man.
It's been crazy. We've been filming. I just filmed two music videos in the last 4 days. It was 4 days of filming two different music videos, and we just wrapped the Best Night of My Life music video last night.
Wow. I can't wait to see this.
So, yeah. Coming this week.
Awesome, man. Zach, thank you so much. Where can people obviously they can follow you guys on Instagram at American Authors, but is there anything you want to plug?
The new album,
yeah, of course. Fourth album. Yeah.
And the album's called Best Night of My Life.
Best Night of My Life.
Our fourth album, Best Night of My Life, is coming out mid-February. The single Best Night of My Life comes out January 13th. We're going on tour February, March with our good friend Billy Raful. So make sure you hit us up and check out the dates because we are coming to a city near you in February or March. And then, you know, we're touring the world after that. So
awesome.
Make sure you come check us out and say hi.
Definitely will. Zach, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Of course, man.
Thank you. Anytime.
If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com. Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com.